I've wanted to do this podcast for a while, to have a professional boxer on the show, and I'm delighted to have Fash the Face with us today, who is a professional boxer, an entrepreneur, and a mum. How she does it all, I have no idea, but we're about to find out. How are you doing, Fash?
I'm good, thanks. Thanks for having me on.
You're very welcome. So, before we get into the nuts and bolts of all the questions I've got, and there's a lot of them, I want to play Winner Stays On. Super middleweights in their prime. Just pick the winner that stays on, all right? So, Joe Calzaghe versus Andre Ward.
Joe Calzaghe.
Calzaghe versus Roy Jones Jr.
Roy Jones Jr.
Yeah, Roy Jones Jr. versus James Toney.
Roy Jones Jr.
Roy Jones Jr. versus Nigel Benn.
Roy Jones Jr.
Roy Jones Jr. versus Chris Eubank Sr.
Roy Jones Jr.
Roy Jones Jr. versus Carl Froch.
Roy Jones Jr.
Roy Jones Jr. versus Canelo Alvarez.
Canelo Alvarez all the way.
Canelo Alvarez versus Mikel Kessler.
Canelo. Next one, Canelo. Canelo. Next one, Canelo.
Sorry. Canelo. Canelo versus Benavidez.
Canelo.
I think Canelo's your favorite fighter, right?
Yes.
We do something called the reverse Turing test. For those who know, they know. My choice is Nigel Benn, not because he would win in a fight with Canelo. He wouldn't. But because I'm a 90s child and, I'm an 80s child, but I grew up in the 90s. And the Benn Eubank fights were just everything to me. I loved that period of time. I love that period of boxing. Yeah. Fash, thank you so much for being here. For those who don't know you, please take a minute to introduce yourself.
So first of all, I'm Fash. I'm a mom. I'm a professional boxer, and I'm also an entrepreneur. Before that, I was also a coach at Spartans Boxing Club, but I left the job to focus on taking care of the baby, and obviously there's a business and training, so it's taking a lot of my time. So I decided to drop the coaching and then take care of everything else.
Fair enough. And what's that? What's when you say you're an entrepreneur? What's the business that you run?
So I do women's boxing equipment and apparel, because when I was coaching, I see this hole in the market. And I've also realized that I wasn't the only person who realized that's the hole in the market. There are other competitors internationally, which I'm happy to see, because there's not a lot of them out there. So there's one here, there's one in Canada, and there's one in the UK. That's what my business is about.
Yeah, I remember looking at Boxer and then being surprised at just how poorly served that market is, given how fast women's boxing is growing. And yep. How different women's, just in terms of boxing gloves, just how different a woman's hand is, like physically, like physiologically to to a man's hand. So it's a great business, great brand. Wish you all the success with it. Fash, to start, I want to explore the firsts. I want to explore that first period when you first got into boxing. What sucked you in? What drew you in? And what kept you there? So take us back to the very first time, if you can remember it, the very first time you walked into a boxing gym. What you saw, what you smelled, what you felt, and what you noticed.
So the first time I actually got into contact sport was in boxing. I was a Muay Thai fighter before I was a boxer, actually. And back then, I mean, I'm competitive by nature. But when I first got into the ring, I have to admit, I was blank. I was blank because I just see this whole thing as a game rather than I'm going to get hit. But also at the same time, because I grew up in doing sports, I remember telling this to a lot of people. My dad was my first coach, and he brought me up, and I sort of turned into like someone who had no emotion. Because that's what he taught me. Like, I shouldn't be scared, or there's no such thing as feeling anxious or feeling depressed. So a lot of times I try to hide it and mask it to a point where, you know, I don't feel anything. So if I can be, if I can be truthful, I don't feel a lot of stuff back in the day. But I have learned that over time, and pretty much only almost recently to embrace that feeling of feeling anxious and scared and whatever else. So to answer your question, I only feel that recently. I feel scared and anxious.
But I think that the fact that you saw it as a game probably helped you a lot, right? You walked in more that this is a game rather than a challenge, and maybe that helped you to sort of stick it out.
Yeah. I mean, again, like back then, all I knew was I got myself into a fight. Into a boxing match or Muay Thai match without thinking that it's a fight, you know? So I just took it all like a game. Even now, I treat it like a game.
At any point during that first fight, did it dawn on you, oh my God, like this is actually a fight? Or did you still approach it through that fight as a game?
As a game. I was just riding through that whole just fight. I wasn't scared. I was just like, again, I was just numb.
Who was the first person to say to you, hey, actually, you're pretty good at this. You could be really good at this.
Actually, I grew up knowing that I can play any sports. And then when I really do commit into a sport, people do tell me, hey, you're actually pretty good. But I have a feeling, at that point of time, I feel like, oh, I'm good at everything, but not very good at one thing, you know what I mean? But I get that a lot. Even when I started boxing, I did my first boxing fight for fun because there was a coach in the gym that said, hey, you look like you can do boxing. Why not try a match? So I did it for fun. And then president of the Boxing Association in Singapore, Coach Syed Kadi, said, you're talented. You should get into the team, and he got me onto the team pretty much almost instantly.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Can you think of a time when you were like, oh God, I don't want to carry on. Like it would have been easier to quit, but yeah, you decided to just keep going. And what was your mindset when that happened?
Many times, like, I don't know, many times. And it took a lot of like convincing from my husband to say, like, you know, you should, there's something about you. If you keep going, you might reach where you want to be. But at that point of time, even sometimes that thought will lurk around in my head that, you know, the goal feels very, very far, very unachievable, you know. But yeah, I just continue training without thinking, you know, of the long run. I just take one day at a time. So that helps. Yeah.
So what I'm hearing really is that, you know, your biggest advantage or your biggest sort of aid in your own growth has primarily been your emotional control, your ability to control your emotions and not let the demons into your actual behaviors, just allowing, and that comes from your dad, right? Your dad teaching you that emotional control is super important, and then supported again by Russ, your husband.
Correct.
And then that allows you to be like gritty. It allows you to stick things out. Yeah.
I think anyone who are elite in whatever they do have that mindset, because if they don't have that mindset, they wouldn't be where they are. Like elite athletes, people who are in the corporate world, you know, if they're up there, they have that mindset. Yeah.
In last week's episode, I spoke to your husband, Russ, and he's also your coach.
Yes.
And Russ mentioned something I found really interesting, which is that part of sort of sports psychology, he didn't get into too much detail, he just mentioned it in passing, but I made a note of it because I wanted to talk to you about it. Part of sports psychology, there's this idea of creating like the alter ego so that you can mask like you don't get overawed by the event or by the moment. And I guess your alter ego is Fash the Face. So where did the nickname come from? And is it an actual alter ego or is it just a name?
Russ gave me that name, actually. I couldn't think of one. It was a lot of things. So it was like, first of all, the history was when I train, I have this like face that I put on where people couldn't figure out what I'm feeling. Am I feeling angry? Am I feeling tired? Because it's just poker face. So they always ask like, hey, what's wrong with Fash? Like, why is her face like that? So that was like the initial story. But the face itself, the name is very versatile, especially when I come from a country that where boxing isn't that big yet, and we hope to be the face of Singapore women's boxing or women all boxing. So that's the aspiration or the dream.
So that's kind of a weight on your shoulders, right? I mean, you've got an incredible fight record and you've got your own expectations of yourself, I guess your family's expectations, but yes, also Singaporean or women's boxing, but really Singaporean women's boxing in particular. That's a lot of weight for one person to take. How do you handle all of that?
It is. I recently felt it when I had my first loss in Australia, where I felt like I could put Singapore boxing on the world map, but I did not manage to do so. And I feel I've had the bruise on my eye, but I felt my ego was bruised even more, and I needed some time away from just society and to gather my thoughts. And initially it was just filled with shame and because I couldn't do what I wanted to do. I couldn't bring back the pride into Singapore's boxing. So I felt a lot of guilt and shame. But then I took some time and then realized that, you know, this whole journey isn't about just Singapore boxing. It's really just about me trying to pursue my dreams, trying to be a good example for my daughter. Just being away from Singapore allowed me to realign my focus.
I think that you brought pride to yourself and to your coach and to your team and to your country by even taking that fight, because that was a tough fight. And a lot of weaker people would have just said no to that. A lot of weaker people would have walked away from that fight. And the fact that you, not only did you not walk away, it was a close fight, and you know, it was in the end, it was a stoppage, but she was a lot bigger than, she was a natural at her weight, and you'd obviously come up a couple of weight classes. So for me, I can empathize with the feeling of shame, right? Having been knocked out myself in the ring, I can empathize with that feeling. But from an outsider's perspective, I personally felt nothing but pride for you and for what you achieved. Just getting in that ring was a huge thing. So bravo for doing that.
Thank you. I guess I had like a huge expectation. Even talking about it now, I can feel the tears. But like, I think I had like a huge expectation of myself. And if there's anyone around me knows that I took this opportunity because I've been waiting for one for a long time. I've been a professional boxer since 2018. And I know how difficult opportunities like this can get by. And when we got this, we had a few fight offers. We had about 3 to 4, but we picked this one because we know if we reject this, it's not going to come back. So that's the reason why, even though it's not my weight class, I've never fought at Superfly in the professional scene. We took it anyway. And I really wanted to test myself because, you know, I've been in the sport for a long time. I really wanted to test myself and I didn't care about losing. I just wanted to see where I'm at.
Yeah. And again, you know, I think that I spoke to Russell again about this a little bit, you know, the psychology of losing, because I guess it can be in the moment, it can be overawing and overwhelming when you've got so much expectation of yourself. But again, like one of the things that he sort of advised me and my listeners is take other people's perspectives. And I think that, you know, I watched that fight live, and I was just overwhelmed with pride, actually. I was like, I know her, and I can't believe she's doing this. And you did just an incredible job. And I honestly think that you would have regretted not going into that fight. I
Oh,
think that
yes,
you.
absolutely. Absolutely, I would regret if I didn't. I don't like to live. I always say to myself that at the end of the day, I don't like to ever mutter the sentence, "I regret not doing this at whatever time it was." So I'm glad I did. I took the fight.
Let's talk about something that you did reject then. So, has anyone ever asked you to do something in the media or a partnership or something, and you've rejected it? And if so, why?
I haven't actually, but I think I remember someone asking me if I would ever go naked. So if
Yeah.
anyone would ask me to go naked, I wouldn't, even if they pay me well.
Good. I know that Russ is glad to hear that. Do you feel like Fash the face is an alter ego? Like you were saying before, how people can't really read your face and they think that you're upset, when actually maybe you're just focused. Do you think that that is actually your alter ego?
Yes, I'm by nature a very introverted person, and I only realized this because Fash the Face, I've only used it within Singapore, and the events in Singapore are they're okay, they're not so big. And when I got onto the No Limit show, I realized that I've put on this persona that I've never actually shown any people to anyone. And I think a lot of people from No Limit actually, they were shocked by how well I have presented myself. And even Russ was shocked, and even I shocked myself. And I really enjoyed it because I remember telling a lot of people that if I don't box or I stop boxing, I've always wanted to get onto theater because the original Fash. So I'm brought up in a sports family. My father loves sports, my mom loves sports. So I did the true Fash really would like to be into musical and theater, artsy fartsy stuff, nothing sports. And I always say to myself, once I'm done with boxing, I want to do theater or anything musical. And when I got onto the No Limit show, I realized like this is just like a show. It's like a theater. I am the show. I am presenting. I'm showing people what they want to see. They want to see entertainment. And I just found out that yeah, Flash the Face is my alter ego. And I like to put that alter ego out.
I love that. So essentially what we're getting is like your alter ego is sometimes your alter ego, but maybe it might be a reflection of your core self, your true self, and you use that to your advantage in boxing, but it might actually be your future. It might be your post-boxing career as well.
Maybe you'll never know.
I want to explore the moment, and maybe there isn't one moment, but I want to explore the point at which you thought, hold on, I could be really elite at this sport. Was there a fight or a camp where you were in the middle of it, and or at the end of it, or when reflecting, and you thought, God, I could go all the way at this?
Yeah, I think the most recent fight, although I lost, I see the dog in me. I see what I would want to sacrifice. I see the end goal. I had a tunnel vision. I did what I did, you know. So this whole journey has made me realize that I'm pretty much made for this, and I like
I
where this
find
is
that so
going.
interesting. I find it really interesting that you know, you're reflecting on your last fight, which was your only loss on your record, right? And that's the moment you thought, you know, hold on, I could be elite at this, because so many people would, they would just wallow. Do you know what I mean? I'm sure you had that too. Everyone, when they lose anything, they have the period of being depressed about it. But the lesson you took from it was, yeah, I belong at this level. And it was so obvious that you did. And so I think there's a lot of value for people to take from that, that sometimes your lowest point is the catalyst for your growth, your next phase of growth.
Yes.
Do you remember during the fight, do you remember anything that Russ or any of the other coaches said to you in the corner? Were there any sort of messages that you, that sort of even today you play back?
Not so. I think because during the fight, I didn't really follow the strategy. That was one of the things I learned. So they were trying to get me into remembering what the strategy was. So not really. I just remembered Russ trying to get me back into focus, just trying to make sure I'm there and I'm not like lost into my own thoughts. So yeah.
Have you watched the fight back?
I have. You know what? I didn't want to watch my fight, and I was so scared when No Limit put the fight on, because I was absolutely gutted. I was absolutely disappointed with my performance because I knew that I could do better. But when I watch it again, I'm like, oof, that's a solid fight. That's even better than the main card, actually.
It was, yeah.
And it was better than the main card. We came to fight. It was war until the referee stopped the fight. It was questionable, so.
It was definitely questionable. And at one point, your opponent thought you were playing, you were in WWE and not in boxing, when she sort of backflipped over her back.
Yeah, yeah.
When you watch the fight back, and referring back to, like, you know, Russ in the corner were trying to keep you on your strategy. When you watch the fight back now, do you look at it and think, yeah, are you analyzing it and thinking, right, next time I'm going to do this? Or are you analyzing it and thinking, right, in my training, I need to do more of that? What's your thought process when you're sort of looking back at your own performance?
When I look at it, the first thing I thought was, I actually look good. And then the next thing was, okay, there are a lot of things that we can adjust. There are a lot of things we should put into consideration and we should change and things like that. But yeah, I have watched it a few times, and then I've not watched it for us. But I think when we start our next camp, we will do that. But yeah, I think in totality, I have thought about what we should do next.
And do you do that for every fight? Like, if there's a film available of your fights, because everything apart from the last one was a win, right? So when you're looking back at your old fights, are you looking for your own mistakes, or are you saying no, that was, are you focusing on the things that were positive?
No, both. You need to talk about the positive and the negative, because if you just talk about the negative, then you won't feel good about yourself, right? Or vice versa. So yeah, that's what we always do. But this time, I think we could take a lot from it because it was a loss and things like that. So yeah, I think we can take a lot from the previous one, more than the ones that we won.
Isn't that true in life? You always learn more from the times you lose than you do the times you win. I find that anyway. Thinking about, like, the week before any fight, but your last fight, if you like, because it was relatively recently, what changes in your routine in that week coming up to the fight? Is it more mental focus? And I guess you're tapering in terms of your training. What are you doing differently in that last week?
I think there weren't anything different. In my opinion, although I lost, everything went smoothly. I did what I was supposed to do. At the end of the day, I wouldn't sit here and thought, I should have done this differently. I regret not doing this. Because I gave my all in training. Actually, for this fight, I've done more than any other fight. I did like a brain training, which I've never done before. I had a brain coach. I had mental excellence coach. Everything was on point. It's just, you know, when it's sport, one person have to lose and it's me.
What's a mental excellence coach?
It's like if you meet like a sports psychologist. So I work together with this lady called Aisha. She is based in America, but she is also our first Singapore rower Olympian from Singapore. So I think I look up to her as a big sister. She is also a marathon runner. She's a marathon runner and an Olympian. So she does well at both sports. And she basically took on this role of wanting to empower or help other athletes that need this kind of coaching. So I look at her like a big sister. Yeah.
How does it work? Is it like is it like therapy, or is she giving you practical tips of things, or what's it like?
A mix of all, but I think our first few sessions, I remember, is all about building confidence, building positive mindset, building not just positive. Well, we would analyze everything. What's your weakness? What's your strength? How do you put your weakness in and make it into your strength? Something like that, you know. So I enjoy the coaching, because then I'm a very reflective person. I like to sit down and reflect on my training, but sometimes you can spiral. So this is when this kind of coaching can keep you at a level-headed position. Yeah.
Love that. So you relatively recently became a mother. Not too recently, but I think anyone who follows you on Instagram saw like your transformation, and it was like rapid, quick time. I've never seen anything like it, because you were back in fight shape. How long did it take to get back to fight shape?
I think my first fight was on my 8th month or 7th month.
Man, that's incredible.
Yeah. Listen, like, when I gave birth, I had postpartum blues, not depression. I had postpartum blues, and boxing saved me, because I came back into the gym. I didn't work out right away. I came back coaching some of the white collar boxers, and it gave me like a sense of because when you box competitively, there is an end goal, right? So at that point of time, I feel like, oh, there's nothing to do except with this baby that cannot talk, walk, or do anything. They just cry and sleep, and then you're in pain and your body is aching. So coming back to the gym actually, like, you know, distract me from all the negative thoughts I had in my head, and mental postpartum blues is almost like, you know, going through depression. Is really bad. It lasted me about 3 weeks, and it was the longest 3 weeks ever, because I've never gone through that phase, and it was very hard. So like boxing actually saved my life, saved me at that moment of time, you know. So I was glad that, you know, I could get back to boxing and coaching. A lot of people give me like the side eye, why are you back in the gym? But like, I guess that's where I belong. I know myself as being fit and being in the gym rather than, you know, being confined in a room. So yeah.
Quick message from this episode's sponsor, Spartans Boxing Club. Spartans is not just a gym, it's a tribe. Spartans built a brand on discipline and community, and they're scaling fast from Dubai all across the GCC. They're now welcoming new franchisees. If you want a high-energy, proven business with real growth, take a look at Spartans Boxing Club. The link is in the show notes. All right, back to the show. I think boxing saved a lot of lives, to be honest. I think that there is something unique, and it's very, very difficult to explain. I find it very difficult to explain to people why boxing is so powerful mentally, not physically. I mean, all sports are good physically, right? If you play tennis, if you're a rower, they're all good physically. But there is something totally unique about the mental side of boxing, which is, I find, very difficult to explain. The closest I've ever come is it's like it's the only time of a day or a month or a year where you have total focus on a single objective without any distraction. It's very difficult to be distracted, actually, when you're boxing. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know how to describe it other than that. Do you feel the same?
Yeah, I do feel the same. And just talking back about giving birth, I always wonder. I sometimes sit down and I wonder. I have boxing to turn back to. I always wonder, what about those mothers who don't have anything to turn back to? Like, you know, their life is about going to work before they had a baby, or they just go out and party, or they just don't do anything. And then if they go through the same thing, what would they do? I couldn't imagine. I couldn't imagine. Yeah. So, yeah, I feel very privileged to know what I want, to have sports. No, I wouldn't even give it to boxing. I grew up doing sports, so I always silently thank my parents for, you know, bringing me up as such. Yeah.
Yeah, you can thank them vocally as well. Yeah, because it's a big thing.
I just don't meet them that often. And they're not that kind, you know, like Asian parents, they don't like deep conversation.
very reserved. Yes, much like Arab parents, it's very similar. Yeah. Now you're a mum, has that changed sort of decisions you make around sparring or training intensity or recovery or travel?
Yes, because my time now revolves around the baby. So I now train smarter. I used to just train when, like, if I want to train more, I would. But now I'll make sure that my training is smarter, because I'm also breastfeeding, at the same time weight cutting. So all this could add up to, like, decreasing the breast milk. So I enjoy breastfeeding my baby. It's the way we born. So yeah, a lot of things have changed. I would say duration of training, what I eat, when I train. Yeah. Because of the baby, purely.
If you were to project forward 10 years, 15 years, what's one thing you hope your daughter takes from you and one thing you hope she doesn't take from you?
I hope for her to take, I'm sure growing up in Singapore, like, we are very much education focused, and it's very hard to pursue things you like if it's not the common road, right? If you're not a lawyer, doctor, or I don't know, the common job that people have, then you are a bit stuck. And I've been there, in that position. And I just want her to see myself as the blueprint. Like, I've set this path, you make it better, or you can follow it, you know. But I do just want her to not give up. Growing up, I think in Singapore, a lot of parents just want their children to do good in school. But we got to remember, not all kids can do well in school. And that's one thing I will not put on my daughter. Like, if she cannot do well in school, if she have other things that she's good at, I would assist her in that. Yeah. But back then, we didn't have the resources to. Yeah. Wouldn't blame my parents. They did what they did. They did the best they could. But if I could change one thing about parenting, is I would assist my child in doing what she's good at.
Yeah, I think that's a generational thing, because obviously it's same for my parents' generation. You know, education was everything. Grades were everything. They were the most important things. And then you get into the real world and you kind of realize that actually they're not the most important things. Like, for most people, the most important things are more tactile than that. Like, you know, you mentioned, like, your alter ego and how that might become like your future, that your desire, your love of theater and music and things like that.
Yeah,
I mean, I can just imagine if I'd have ever said to my dad, I think I'm going to be a podcaster. Whack! Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So,
yeah. I had thought, like, what if one day my daughter come to me and tell me the wackiest thing that she wants to be? Like, I don't know, she wants to be a recycling lady. I don't know. Would I be okay with that? Yeah. Like, be a gardener. Would I be okay with that? So...
Me and, my, My wife and I talk about this quite a lot because we've got four kids, and we talk about like, okay, what if one of them comes and says something like that? You know, I'm really passionate about the environment and I want to do something like that. How would we react? And we have very, very different reactions to that. She is much, much stricter than me. She would be like, nope, you're going to focus on your studies and all of that. And I'm like, well, if that's what you're passionate about, you're better off exploring it and seeing where that leads. Can we talk about your business a little bit? Like, what skills have you learned in the ring that help you in your business?
To never give up, because it's such a... First of all, I know nothing about running a business. I just went head in, like, okay, I'm going to start trying and do things that I've never done before. So... let's start a business. I see this hole in the market. I don't know anything about marketing. I don't know anything about manufacturing. So I think when I started this business, the learning curve was as steep as being a mom. I think everyone would agree that having a business is like having a baby, right? So it was steep. It was very challenging. I'm still learning. Hopefully, I can find a mentor that can guide us properly. But for now, I'm just like, I'm doing what I could. I'm doing what I could with the skill set I have and the time I have. But yeah, running a business, you know, they say like, oh, quit your 9-to-5 job to start a business, read 24 hours.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Like, starting a business is... one of the most exciting and painful endeavors that people can go on. It's exciting because the thing I always think is that on paper, most businesses look good. It's only when you actually get into the real world that they look good. And because I run an agency, I see so many different businesses. And sometimes, I'll be honest, like sometimes a client will come to us and they'll be like, yeah, here's our business, here's our strategy, here's our plan. And I go through it with just my experience. I'm like, yeah. That's not going to work, but they insist on marketing it, and it always ends up being the same thing. They've missed a major point in the market, or there's just not a market opportunity there.
Yeah.
A lot of times, though, the people who how do I say it? Like, I want to say like lack the self confidence, but what I mean is they don't have the ego. Like you don't really have the ego around this.
Yeah.
And they've got a good idea. They're the ones that ultimately, in my experience, they're the ones that ultimately do succeed, because they don't, we have this in our office wall, don't believe your own bullshit. Like, you know, they don't believe their own bullshit. They're always questioning themselves, and that allows them to see opportunities that most of the people would miss. So I've no doubt that you'll be successful, even more successful than you have been. What would you say is like, what was the moment in building Boxer that you thought, oh, hold on, we do have something here. There is definitely an opportunity here.
I think we feel like we could change this space and value add to the community every time when we do an event. So every year we run a women's boxing event and all these women will gather together. And we then see, this is our why. This is our why. We want to change... the way women look at boxing. We want to change the equipment. We want to change everything for the better. But change takes time. And education takes time. Because, you know, boxing is one of the oldest sports around. And women, all this while, we've integrated in the men's space very well. We would use all just wear our big shorts or long wraps or huge glove. We just sort of integrate well and we don't complain because we enjoy it. But now there are a lot more women who don't want to box. Like they don't want to fight, but they want to take up boxing. They want to look good. Want to, you know, feel good about themselves. And I want that for them with less injury. You know, so I think this is where I come in and I step in like a big sis. So I always see myself as this like big sis energy within the space. And Yeah, that's what I hope to be, but like it's taking longer than I wanted it to take off, but I'm sure I will get there.
I'm sure so. I'm sure too. You mentioned like a really powerful why there, and I'm curious, did you and your partner sit down and define that, or did that why happen organically? Because most businesses rarely get to even understanding their why. They think their why is to make money, and their how is just the methodology, whereas actually that's just the what. But did you guys sit down and deliberately think about your why, or did that just happen organically?
No, it came organically because for me, my why, the reason I started all this was because I was coaching and I see the problem. And for Nadia, who is my business partner, she was a part of the boxing community and she feel like, yeah, there is a problem in the space that we need to address. So we pretty much in sync that why, and we knew right from the start we wanted to make things better for the women community in the boxing community.
Yeah, it's also, you know, Nadia's, I think she works in branding, right? Because it's a wonderful brand that you guys have got. And so I think that all good businesses do take their time to sort of flourish. And so I'm sure that you guys will be successful with Boxer. The link to the Boxer website is in the show notes for anyone who wants to check out Boxer 2. Fash, it has been so lovely talking to you. I don't want to finish just yet. I want to have like just a few quick fire questions, just so that people can understand your personality a little bit better. So, who is your boxing idol?
Oh, a lot, but I put Canelo at the top.
Do you remember the first boxing gloves you ever bought?
Yes, it was like a back mitt, like those really thin pad twins. I still have it.
Wow. When you're doing your running, your road work in the morning or at night?
Morning most of the time, but if I can't make it's gonna be at night.
Flexibility, I guess, is key when you're a mum as well.
Yeah.
Skipping or shadow boxing?
Ooh, shadow boxing.
What's your favorite bag? Heavy bag, double ended, floor to ceiling?
Heavy bag.
What is the pre-fight meal that you go to?
Pasta.
Yeah. Coffee or tea during fight week?
Coffee in general. Then if I feel sick of coffee, I'll change to tea. Actually, I take the tea chai, so it's a mix.
It is a mix, yes. Who's the first voice you hear in the corner?
Brass.
Always, yeah.
Yes, always.
If you had to choose one fighter to study for a month, all of their tapes, who would it be? Past or present?
Canelo, I do it all the time, past, present. I've gone through his box rack and went it every one of them.
You've got some awesome sponsors, but if you could partner with one brand, who would it be?
I've thought about this. It would be. It changes. Right now, Nike. Sometimes I want to be sponsored by Elon Musk.
We all want to be sponsored by Elon Musk, but if anyone from Nike is listening, then you know what to do. Number one Singaporean boxer, Fash. What's the best round you ever boxed?
Best round. What does that mean? Like,
The best round, the best one round of a fight that you had in terms of your own performance.
are you talking about like number of rounds or
No,
what? I'm
no.
sorry.
If you had to choose one round and you like came back into the corner, or maybe it was the end of the fight and you're like, that was the perfect round of boxing that you had, which fight was it? When was it?
The latest one.
Yeah.
Yeah, with
Which
Jesse.
round? It was 10 rounds, right?
No, I fought for 5 rounds, but
Yeah.
usually I get to my senses in the mid round, so like third round.
When you're in recovery, do you ice bath, massage, or sleep, or both? or all?
Massage, swim, or sleep?
Final question. Dream venue to fight in?
Las Vegas. Las Vegas.
Yeah. I think I would have probably gone with Wembley, but that's just because of my background.
Oh, it's difficult, you know, these two.
Either would be fine, I guess.
Yeah.
Fash, thank you so much for your time. The guys are going to get, the team, the listeners are going to get an awful lot from your experience. We wish you all the best in your business, motherhood, and of course your fight career. I'll continue to follow you, and I'm sure everyone else will too. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. Before you go, I just want 30 more seconds of your time. Firstly, thank you for taking the time to listen to the podcast. If you enjoyed it, please do take a moment to leave us a review. It really helps getting exposure to the podcast for other people. We only do this stuff for you, so please do take a moment to leave a review. If you are interested in our digital marketing agency, Cush Digital, you can go to cush.digital and hit the contact form and we'll get right back to you. The Impact Lab has a free course on the website called The Prompt Monkey Problem. So if you think that you are in that category of people who are using AI too much and not necessarily building foundational skills or foundational knowledge, go to theimpactlab.store and you can sign up for the course entirely free, no catch, no credit card, nothing. Just jump in, do the course, get your certificate, and then start building your own foundational knowledge in marketing. Thank you very much for your time, and we look forward to seeing you at the next episode.